Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the word of Jesus, just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio. Making plain the word of Jesus, just to let the people know. This is Teaching Bible Radio.
That you have chosen to be with us this morning. Amen. So we want to go, as it is our custom, before the Lord in prayer, and then we will try to get into the Word. And we thank God that you have, as I said, once again chosen to be here with us this morning. Amen. So we pray that everything is good with you, and we're going to go right ahead and have a word of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we bless your name. We give you praise today. Father, we exalt you because your name is excellent in all the heavens and in all the earth. And Father, we just want to thank you for everything you have done, Lord God, and we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Father, we thank you for the activity of our limbs, O God, and everything that you do for us every day, every second of every day. And so, Father, we want to praise your name and exalt you and magnify you, Father, for your name is excellent and you are worthy of all praise. So, Father, today we come in the situation, Lord, in this world that very difficult times have come upon us, but we realize you have given us information and instruction in your word. And so we want to thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your son. We thank you for his death, his burial, his resurrection. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have given in order to lead us through your word and guide us to all truth. And so, Father, for those things, we mainly praise you, Father, but we thank you for everything, all your provisions. You have provided everything we have needed in every second of our lives, even up to this very moment. And so, Father, we want to thank you and give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Father, we pray for those that are bereaved today, hearts are broken, minds are in a troubled state, Father. Give them a situation of peace that they might be able to make it through. We pray for those that are on a bed of sickness today, that you would touch them right now where they are, that they might be healed. Father, we pray that you direct us, O God, in these evil days that we live in, because we know the time is coming near. We can tell by the things that you have said in your word. So we pray, Lord God, that you give us a voice to speak to the multitudes and let them know that you have sent your son, Jesus the Christ, the only Savior of the world, in order for them to be saved. Lord God, help us in our proclamation, as you promised to do even in the early church. You said you will be with us always, even to the end of the world. And so, Father, today we ask you to bless, give us more of a voice, Lord God, and we reach up to you, Lord, because we know no other. And there is none except you, Lord God, and none beside you. None like you. And so we want to thank you today, Lord God, for all that you are and all that you mean to us. Father, we ask you to bless this country that's in a state of turmoil right now, Lord God. Give people some understanding, Lord God. Snatch the blindness off of people's blinded eyes, Lord God, that they might come to see who you are and that you have an agenda that's greater than everything we're going through right now here on this earth. And especially in our country, Lord God, we pray that you break chains of the wicked right off the people, Lord God, and set their minds free into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Bless your people, Lord God, as they take a stand for the truth, your word, in these last and evil days. And we thank you right now, Lord God, and we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for the blood of Jesus once again this morning. Amen. This is the St. Timothy Church and Straight Gate Ministries, and we are blessed to be here in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead. We have a word from the Lord today that I want to bring to your attention. And if you don't have our notes, you can go online and find them at teachingbible.org. That's T-E-A-C-H-I-N-G Bible.org, all one word. And we can get those notes. You can follow along. Amen. But for now, we're going to go right ahead and read the word. This is something I think that we all need in these times of trouble, and it's just to realize who's who. And by that, I mean there's one that God has sent into the world by which the whole world is configured around him, and his name is Jesus. So I want to lift up his name right now just before we break the bread of life. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Hallelujah. Something about that name of Jesus. Amen. So we pray today that whoever you are, wherever you are, and if you do not know Jesus, that we will help you understand who Jesus is and what he has done for you, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So I want to use for a subject today to talk about this, defining characteristics of the elect. Defining characteristics of the elect. And we'll talk about that a little more, just to keep that in the back of your mind. And I want you to understand a few things today that only by the ones chosen by God will believe the clear gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that is the only message that God has for the Jew and also for the Gentile. That means his covenant people and the rest of the world, simply put. And so it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which has been given without regard to the political climate, nor to the direction of the world, because it is the calling of God himself which brings about the manifestation of the believer. It is indeed God who is defining the characteristics of the elect. In other words, if you are the chosen of God, you will believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is not confusing, nor is he the author of confusion. And he has made his message very clear so that the whole world has one standard by which they can be saved. And he has dispatched the church as of the first advent of Christ after his death, burial, and resurrection to go and teach all the nations, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So that brings us from the early church up to where we are here, even in America and any other place on the planet. God has one message for all the people. And by that, that's what I mean. God is not the author of confusion. So there's not two ways to be saved, there's only one. And God has made that very clear, and it's the duty and the privilege of the church to preach the good news that Jesus Christ alone is the Savior of the world. And so we know for some of us that may be news, for others of us we know that this is the case. But the fact is, for the rest of you who have not given much thought to it, we want to talk to you about it today, because God has dispatched his church from 2,000 years ago up to this second to tell the whole world the good news about Christ. Christ alone is the medium of salvation. No one else is the mediator between God and men. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. And so without Christ, you cannot do anything. But with Christ, all things can be done. That's why he says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So Jesus is the defining characteristic, number one, of the elect. Now, what do I mean by the elect? Only those who are chosen by God will respond to God's message. And if you believe something else, let me let you know you have not been chosen by God, because God has one standard and he has sent the church to preach that exact standard. And that is to every man, woman, boy and girl on the planet. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing in John chapter 15. He said, no man can come to the Father except by me. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. And so we need to understand there is an exclusive need for individuals to trust in God's Son, who is the only mediator between God and men. And he has sent him into the world. So number one, defining characteristic of the elect, that means that you have been chosen, elected by God, is that you trust and believe in Jesus, the Messiah. He is the only one who can clean our slate and make us acceptable to God. Without him, we cannot do anything. And so number one defining characteristic is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the reason why the church preaches the gospel, which is good news. Now, let me address some of the problems that we have going on and reasons why people don't believe. I'd like to do that for you just to get us started here by looking at a passage in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 25. And let's start at verse 7. The whole chapter is wonderful, as you know, I always say. Read some of the context around it when you have opportunity. But to save us a little time today, we're going to zoom in on verse number 7 and following. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 7 says, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, and we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now, this simple prophecy given here in the midst of the book of Isaiah is talking about the coming of the Messiah, the one who will take away, as it says here, he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. Do you know there's spiritual blindness that's cast over everyone? When we come into the world, we are not saved. We have to be born again, Nicodemus was told by Jesus himself. In one of the most famous chapters in the Gospel of St. John, where he said, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So there is a natural fallenness that's in every human being when we are born into the world. And some people take up other things that also blind their understanding of the fact that God loves them and has made one way for them to be saved, by such as false religion, selfishness, self-centeredness, where we trust in our own self and nothing else. And there's false religion of every stripe, which is the devil's biggest tool on earth, is to make false religion, which blinds multitudes of people. God has made one way to break that yoke off people, and that is through the preaching of the gospel, as it is prophesied here by Isaiah in chapter 25, verse 7, saying that he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. There is a covering that the prince of darkness has cast over the whole world. God says, I'm going to destroy that and take away the veil that is spread over all the nations. Understand that the whole of the world needs to have the veil of darkness lifted from them, and only God can do that. When Jesus showed up 2020 years ago, we would say 21 years according to our calendar, he was born, and about 33 and a half years after that, he was crucified. crucified on the cross, and it was for the purpose of the fulfillment of Isaiah 25:8, among many others, where it says, here he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Think about that just a minute. He will swallow up death in victory. This is what we see when we see Jesus crucified on the tree, buried in the grave for 3 days and nights, and risen after the third day, and got up with all power and authority, because he has swallowed up death in victory. And that has only been done by one who proclaimed that he was the Lord God Almighty. He said that those who believe in me will not perish, but will have everlasting life, as he told Nicodemus. But he said, in order for you to see this, you must be born again. That means be born of the Spirit of God, born from above, the Greek literally says. In other words, God the Spirit has to wake up your heart and remove the veil of unbelief off your mind, as it says here in verse 7, in order for you to understand this and receive it. So we preach the good news. Jesus sent his Son into the world in order to pay the bill and swallow up death in victory. And then he dispatched his church to preach the good news to all the nations. So that means you, no matter who you are, whether you be Jew or Gentile, the gospel was to start in Jerusalem, which is the center and the focal point of God's real estate, if you will, here on earth, because that is the place that he had given to the covenant people. So he wanted to come to them first, because he had promised that he would come to them here in this passage in Isaiah, and that he would remove the veil that had been cast over all the people and all the nations. In other words, a veil of blindness about how you make yourself right with God. Now, let me stop there and put a pin. We need to understand this. There is nothing that I can do. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that anyone can do to make themselves right with God. Absolutely nothing. You know why? Because God is perfectly holy. We use this phrase around a lot today. He is 100, we like to say. Well, God is 100% holy. And that makes a problem for a wretch like me. An undone wretch like me is not 100% holy. And if you check yourself, you'll find out you're in the same category with me. That you are not 100% holy, and therefore you cannot be acceptable to God. But God, the Bible says, is love, so he wanted to make a way for a wretch that's undone. And this includes all people from Adam clear on up to this very second. No matter who you are, you come into the world with a sin nature that needs to be defeated and to be forgiven in order to be acceptable to God. So God already had planned this fix even before he created man, all the way back, and we talked about that a couple of lessons back and during our Christmas series, so I won't go back over it today. But God had made a way all the way in eternity. He made a way because he knew what the devil would do to bring the world down and crash the world into sin. And so God was planning all the way from that time, even before sin happened in the world, to send his own Son, Jesus the Christ, into the world in order that he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, that by his stripes we would be healed. So all of that prediction of how Jesus would die was given in graphic detail in the Old Testament, and it was God's plan all the way from before time began. And we see that in so many places. We don't have time to break it down this morning because our time will be short. But I want you to understand these defining characteristics of the elect, or things that are true of people who get saved. If you trust God, it's not because you figured out that God loved you. It's because God, the Spirit, convicted you that you have a sin issue and only he can solve it. And he has sent his Son, Jesus, to solve it. Not just for you, not just for me, but for whosoever believes in him. And that has nothing to do with anything else that they may be dependent on. We depend on a lot of things in this world. But the fact is, some of these things, in fact, none of these things, to go ahead and make it totally 100, are able to save you or make you right or cleanse you from all your sin. There's one way to have that done, and that is by placing your faith entirely in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is God in human flesh, sent by God into the world to deal with that problem. And it's the Holy Spirit who is the third person of the Godhead, and that doesn't mean he's less than the first or the second person of the Godhead. It just means that he is the one who takes a subservient position in the third position in order to help people like me and you to lift the veil or the covering off of all people, as it says here in Isaiah 25:7, so that we can believe. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is done through the preaching of the word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when the word of God is preached, it's an instrument that pricks you in your spirit by the Holy Spirit, who has given witness to the word going forth. And if you belong to God, if God has actually chosen you, then you will understand the truth. That's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, so it's an instrumental process that the truth actually makes you free, because you begin to understand God's mindset about the situation that you're in. And you start to not rely so much on man, not so much on myself, not on any religion or religious practice or ritual, but I'm relying on Almighty God, and it is His decree that men would believe on His Son in order to be saved, and the Holy Spirit is given to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, as it says in John 16. If you want to trust and believe in God, you have to do it through the work of the Spirit. So this is one of the defining characteristics of the elect, is that they trust God's word 100%. They believe in complete salvation has been given to them free by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that alone. And God, the Holy Spirit, continues to do a good work in you, which He starts. As it says in Philippians 1:6, Paul said, I am confident of this very thing, that he which hath began a good work in you shall continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we pray today, whoever you are, that you understand that there's nothing you can do about your sin problem. You know what? There's nothing I can do about my sin problem. The only thing I can do is rely on Christ, whom God has given in order to cleanse me from my sin. And when I do that, I receive a 100% blessing from God. I can know for sure that I am saved. 1 John 5:13 says, these things write I unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So it's necessary for us to know that we have eternal life. If you trust in the name of God's Son, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the sent one that God sent, then you shall be saved, the Bible says. That without Him, you can't do anything. So the defining characteristics of the elect, that means those ones who have been chosen by God, is that they trust God's word, they believe on God's Son, and that God has raised Him from the dead to swallow up death, as it says in Isaiah 25:8, in victory. There's no other victory over the grave that has been displayed in time. No one has defeated the grave. Let me say this, and I'm going to put a pin here. If you didn't know that God could do something about the problem of death, you'd be very scared in this season that we're living in. And this is why I told you in the previous message that 2020 that just went by, thank God, was the year of attention. God is waking people up to let you know that I have the solution to the problem of death. You don't have to worry about pandemics, viruses, sicknesses, death, disease, war, and rumors of wars, all those things that Jesus told us would characterize the time we live in. If you trust in me, you can walk by faith in God and you can set aside your worries. Doesn't mean be foolish or haphazard, but it does mean that I have somewhere to go. If something does happen to me and I am taken out, God has a place for me already prepared. That's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus did all of that to come through here, be mauled, mocked, ridiculed, spit on, and crucified. Hung out between heaven and earth on the cross, shedding His blood for the remission of all of your sin, so that you can know that God loves you. You can know He has authority over sickness, disease, death, cruelty, punishment, everything. Hatred and animosity, all of that was displayed while Jesus hung between heaven and earth, the only acceptable, pure mediator between God and men. You know what? He had to fully represent God. So he was holy from conception clear on through to the cross. He had no flaw, no sin, and there was no deceit in his mouth, the Bible says. Even when he came before the court to be judged, Pilate said, "I find no fault in him," three times. And there was no legal justification why Jesus had to be crucified. You know what it was? Pure hatred of his own people, because the Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gives the authority or the power or the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. John chapter 1 tells you that. So he came to the Jews knowing that they would crucify him. Now let me put a pin here. I got to stop just a minute. We live in very difficult times when people have gotten it twisted. I just want to make this real plain. You got it twisted. If you think any kind of political system is going to be your salvation, you know something? Let me tell you real clear. You got it twisted. Politics cannot save you. And people are hung up and twisted right now in politics. And we can just look at the TV set and we understand politics is twisted. I'm talking about all of it. I'm not talking about Republicans, Democrats, Independents, the Whig Party, whoever they are. It's all twisted. And let me add and go on record here today and say that the fact is we threw the Bible out years ago as a culture. Politics said we don't need God's word anymore. Now you want to know why we have a mess that we're in today? Because we threw God out of the public square. And that is the reason why America was blessed originally, because it was basically a God-fearing nation, even though it had its own atrocities even underneath that, with all the different kinds of things that we all know, and we're starting to see it even more today. We're not right, not in accordance with God's word, like discrimination and all the other things that need to be discussed, that we don't want to talk about that. Let's push that to the back burner. Let's talk about foreign policy, and let's talk about finances and the economy, and let's talk about everything but the sin of America. Let's talk about all of that. Just skip the sin that we have been covering over and closing a blind eye to. So I want you to know, politics will not save you. There's one set of politics that will, and that's the one that comes from heaven. God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and men. The Bible declares that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And you know what? You can take away all kinds of things from people. One thing you cannot take away is their salvation. If you have trusted in God, God has granted you salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and that alone. So he came to swallow up death, which is the penalty for sin. You know what? How many people die? The number is one for one. Let me help you understand today. Per capita, one for one is the ratio of death. We want to know how many did Corona kill. Well, it's one for one is the ratio of death. No matter how you go out, you gotta go. So the fact is, there's one way to be right with God, and God has made it plain. I have given my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be crucified for you, and he did it to show you that I love you just like you are. So if you hear my voice today, the Bible says today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Verse 29 says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, and we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Notice that salvation belongs to God, but he will extend it to you by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So the Isaiah here has revealed, and many other passages in the Bible, that there is a veil that is comprised of unbelief that can only be removed by true faith in God and his word. His word is a hammer that will break that veil and uncover your mind so you can know he loves you and he has given Jesus, his son, for you. If you believe that, beloved, whoever you are, if you just believe that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, you shall be saved. You will be born again from above. That's a supernatural process that God does to make you a new person from the inside out. And he does that through grace and through his son, Jesus the Christ. So we pray you believe him today, that you trust him, that you understand his love, that he has given his son in order to give you eternal life. So I want you to look now at another passage here, just before I see our time is moving along here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the New Testament, we're all starting in at verse 7. Paul says to Timothy, his protege and his son in the faith, consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Notice that phrase. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. That means he was locked up in the jail for preaching the gospel. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. Notice that phrase. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now Paul says, you know what, I don't care. You can lock me into jail. That doesn't change God's gospel. The gospel is one message and it's for the elect. Those who have been chosen by God. If you reject the message today, that means you have not been chosen by God. God is choosing you, but the rejection is coming from you toward him. It's not coming from him toward you, because God has preached and commissioned the church to go and preach the good news to all the nations, that whosoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ shall be saved. So if there's any rejection going on, beloved, it's you. It's not God. God loves you. He has sent the proclamation out through the church that whosoever, that includes you, believes in Jesus the Christ and believes that God is raised him from the dead shall be saved. So if there's any rejection going on, it's not coming from God. It's not coming from his word. You know where it's coming from? Your evil heart. You need to turn around. That's what the Bible means when it says repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Repent. Stop blocking, but stop letting that veil cover over the truth that God is declaring in your hearing today. Let the Spirit who is convicting you that what you're hearing is true give you the assurance that God has loved you, that he's given his son for you. This is one of the defining characteristics of the elect. That's how you know if you're elected, is if you believe what God said. So Paul said, I went through all that I went through, imprisonments. He said here, I was in trouble and was spoken of as an evildoer. All of that, he says. But consider what I say, he writes to Timothy, his son. The Lord will give thee understanding in all things. Not me. God is going to give you understanding of what he is saying. He has to do that. Not me. I wish I could make people understand it. The truth is, God makes you understand it. That's what Paul told Timothy here. 2 Timothy 2:7, consider. Now, he just wants you to think about it, Timothy. What I say, and the Lord will give thee. Notice that phrase, understanding in all things. I can't make you understand anything, but God can make you understand everything. If you trust in him, put your faith in him, believe that he gave his son for you, and that he raised him from the dead and defeated your worst enemy, who was death. And by getting up out that grave on the third day morning, he proved that death is not a problem anymore. You don't have to worry about it. So this is what we see here. Moving on to verse 8 once again. Remember, he says, consider in verse 7 and verse 8. Remember, consider, first of all, think it over, that what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding. If you don't understand what I'm saying, God will give you understanding. Consider it. Think it over. Then after you get through verse 9, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And that's good news. Remember that Jesus got out the grave. No one else has done that, beloved. Trust in him with all your heart. Believe that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. Verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble. We get in trouble for preaching the good news, the gospel, that God loved you and gave his son for you. He says, I get in trouble and people say I'm an evildoer. Verse number 9, even unto bonds, I even get locked up because I preach the gospel, the Apostle Paul says. But the word of God is not bound. It's still free. It's going out setting people free. It's breaking chains. The chains are falling off of people every which way. What chains? The chains of sickness, the chains of disease, the chains of unbelief, the chains of addiction. Everything, all the chains that bind your life are broken by the power of God and His Word. If you are the elect and God has chosen you, He can break those chains off your life. Doesn't make any difference if I'm physically bound. I can be free in my mind and in my behavior if I trust God and lean not to my own understanding. Verse number 10, he says here, 2 Timothy 2 and 10, therefore, he says, I endure all things for the elect's sake. Now, if you trust in God, that means He has chosen you, beloved. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Realize God has done what you need in order to make you right and clean in His sight, according to His standard, not according to the standards of men or the policies of men. So you know what? A lot of times, and I'm going to put a pin here, we have a little trouble forgiving ourselves. Sometimes we want to blame somebody else for the problems that we're having. The truth is, God wants to free you from all of that, even against yourself. Some people hold themselves in a cage because they won't forgive themselves when God has said, I will forgive you if you trust in my Son. I will empower you to do everything I have said in my word. I will give you authority over every chain that binds you to break those chains and set you free into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So he says, therefore, I endure all things. Paul says, whatever I got to go through in order to preach this good news to those whom God has chosen, who the Bible calls His elect, I'll go through it, regardless of what it is, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He said, it's worth it if I can get you just to believe Christ. Trust in Him and know that God raised Him from the grave so that you can be saved. He did this because He loves you. Now, I'm going to stop here one more time, put a pin. You know, I had a lot of trouble when I first heard that God loved me. I thought, why would He love me? You know what the problem was? I was looking at me and looking in my mind to find a reason why would He love me. And the truth is, there is no reason. There's no reason in me why He should love me. But the reason is coming from His end, that He loves you because He is love. The Bible says in 1 John 4, God is love, a couple of places. You can read that for yourself. So He's purely love and He loves you. And don't try to understand it. You don't even have to understand it. Just believe it. If you trust in God with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. And you'll see your life getting better, beloved. And so these are the defining characteristics of the elect. The Apostle Paul's statements to Timothy reflects the fact that salvation of God through Jesus Christ is the most important thing above all else, and that no matter what the trials, persecutions, disappointments, faulty politics, or anything else were present, he was instructed to do this his very best to endure for them, for the sake of those who are called out, the elect of God. So whatever I go through, that's a consequence that God has allowed. But the joy of it is that God is calling you. And He wants you to be saved, whoever you are. Some of you are saved and you know what I'm talking about. Because you know these are the defining characteristics of the elect, those who God has called out to serve and worship Him on the earth. That you realize that there's a higher government than all the governments on this world. That's why I like that song that I sang at the beginning. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name of Jesus. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So get your mind off the ground and elevate your mind into the heavens. Amen. Where Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. And He is going to be back. We don't know when it'll be. But the Bible says the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. You want to talk about a trump? God has a trump, but it's the trump of God. And he's going to descend with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Will you be ready, beloved? I want you to understand that. God so loves you that he gave his son for you. And if you believe in him, you will not perish. So this time is coming. It's coming up on you, and it can happen at any moment. So God has sent the Holy Spirit to indwell and lead us through all the scheduled and random acts of the devil and other forces of darkness. You can go through. You don't have to be hung up. The Bible says, if God be for me, who can be against me? If God has chosen you, whom he foreknew, he did predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And these whom he foreknew, he also called. And them he called, he also justified. And them he justified, he also glorified. Romans 8, the golden chain. And if you happen to be the elect of God, then you know what I'm talking about. God loves you, and he's got you on a course of salvation that will not stop until it's completed and you are glorified. That's what Paul told Timothy. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. That's verse 10, 2 Timothy 2:10, that they may also obtain the salvation in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That's where the golden chain ends. For those whom he foreknew, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Them whom he predestined, these he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. So God has the whole package all set for you. And if you believe him today, and I pray you do, then God has called you. And he will justify you by faith alone. And all you need to do is trust the work's already been done. Jesus Christ did it all to the satisfaction of God the Father. That's why he said, it is finished, as he hung there on the cross. Everything necessary to bring many sons and daughters to glory is finished. It's all done. So if you trust in him and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. This is basically something you have to do by faith. He told Nicodemus, asked, how can a man be born when he is old? He couldn't get it. You know why? He was trying to use an earthly understanding of birth to understand what God was doing on a spiritual level. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Then he told him, the wind listeth, and you hear the sound thereof. In other words, the wind is blowing, you can hear it, but you don't know where it came from, neither do you know where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. See, you don't know where it came from, but the wind of God is blowing in your direction right now. If you trust in his Son and believe God has raised him from the dead, you will be born from above by the Spirit of God. Don't worry about where it came from. Don't worry about where it's going. If it's God that's doing the sending, and if it's him who's doing the fulfilling, just trust God and receive it by faith. If you do that, that'll be the best thing that you ever did, and it will change the course of your life from this moment forward. You'll have a new peace, a new understanding, and everything will be much better for you. Even though it doesn't take away trouble, it does help us to make our way through it. So the Apostle Paul's statement to Timothy reflects the fact that the salvation of God through Jesus Christ is the most important thing above all else, and that no matter what the trials, persecutions, disappointments, faulty politics, or anything else were present, no matter what we're going through, things present or things to come, he is instructed to do his very best to endure them for the sake of those who are called out, the elect of God. So I hope that's you today. I hope at this moment, at this hour, this minute, this second, you are now trusting Christ to be your personal Savior, and that you believe that God has raised him from the dead. And the resurrection is something you have to really meditate on. A lot of people have it today where different rituals that you need to do and all that. And I want you to know, nothing could be further from the truth. If you are a child of God, you were born into the family of God. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house. And here said, there are many mansions that were not so, I would have told you. So I want to ask you today, if you're not saved, you're not sure, accept the free gift of God.
God wants you to be saved. I'm going to pray with you right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we have heard the good news that came from on high today, that you have sent your only Son, Jesus the Christ. You said, whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, forgive me of my sin. Help me to turn around, Lord God, and walk by faith and not by sight. Open up my mind, Lord God, so I can see the things that are said in your word and understand that the truth you said would make me free. And I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. And so, Father, help me today and adopt me today into your family that I might be your child. From this moment forward, and I ask this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, your Son, and I give him all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And we hope to pray along with me and today. And if you did, write us and let us know. That would be good. And if you don't know, we understand. But we want you to know that we are here for you. We have made a lot of preparations to continue the feeding of God's Word. We hope that you have been blessed. If you'd like to make an offering, you can at P.O. Box 210301, St. Louis, Missouri 63121. Or you can go online to our website, teachingbible.org, and there are the PayPal tab there that you can use if you prefer to use PayPal. And anything you desire to do to help the ministry would be greatly appreciated. Amen. So we hope you're having a blessed rest of the Lord today. Here today, we love you, and we hope that you love us too. Amen.